Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I wanted to actually share with you a podcast that I was interviewed on. And I don't always share these because I'm on a variety of different podcasts, business podcasts, motherhood podcasts, women leadership podcasts, things like that. But I had the pleasure of being interviewed by two of my favorite clients who have their own podcast. And they did such an amazing job of interviewing me. I knew that they were not going to give it to me easy. I knew they were going to go right to the heart and soul of it. I knew that they were going to ask me questions that other people wouldn't ask me just because of the intimate nature of our relationship. And when I was thinking about sharing this with my audience, I just knew that I wanted you to be able to see maybe a little bit different side of me, in a side where I struggle with the same things that you do. I struggle with imposter syndrome. I struggle with being seen. I struggle with putting myself out there. And so I think you're going to love this one. Have a listen.
All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Heartwork Podcast. Y'all, we are so excited. We got our coach and mentor on today, Stephanie Wigner. Oh my goodness. So little backstory. So Marisa and I went literally less than a year ago, went to this little girls trip. We're like, hey, we're going to go brainstorm our podcast. Who is this chick on Instagram that's popping up all over the place? Like, let's go check out this conference that she's doing. And literally left that freaking conference like, this is the community we've been looking for. This is what we want to be a part of. And truly, I can say this like 100% real, that my life looks very different than it did a year ago. And I know it does for Marisa as well. Like, we immediately, like, not even a year ago, Steph, like, I came to your house for a pop-up in New Jersey. Never been to New Jersey. It's so crazy. And we immediately then jumped into 90-day sprint, went into the seven-figure mastermind. Now we're part of our expanders crew. Y'all, I can truly say, like I said, my life looks very different. And if you have ever been around Steph, she's one of these people that is a woman that not only builds empires, but does it from flow and does it from a space of so much authenticity, along with legit bouginess and drinking like the spring Mountain Valley spring water, renting red Ferraris, like unapologetic luxury. Like, she's this person that, like, legit you want to be around, and also you want to be around because she's so freaking authentic. So we are so excited to have you here. She has this saying that she is building something and not without sacrificing those that she's building it for. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear from her today, because she's going to truly talk to you not only how she's done this, she's literally built seven-figure businesses in the last 5 years, y'all. They're opening another practice in her area. She has now five chiropractic offices going to be launching. So I cannot wait for you guys to hear from her. Thank you so much for being on today.
Yes, what an intro. I am so pumped to be here. It's crazy to think that I've only known you girls for a year, because it feels like so much longer than that. We've lived so much life together in that short amount of time. And I'm just really excited to, I know you guys are not going to take it easy on me. I know you guys are going to ask me some hard questions. So, like, I'm ready to do it.
We are excited. So one of our, just first, we'll be gentle at first.
We'll ease into it.
Well, yeah, a little bit. So we know, and maybe not everybody that has been listening to this may know, that you have obviously done some pretty remarkable things in not only just chiropractic, but within the coaching industry. You are starting to truly turn heads, I feel like, when it comes to marketing, how to scale businesses, all of that, while at the same time staying incredibly aligned with your family, your values, and your time. Mm-hmm. So if you think back to when this first started, and like when you first felt this shift and began, what was the heart behind the first step? Because I feel like so many times, like, anybody may feel this like desire and this want to go somewhere, but mm-hmm. it's like something can be paralyzing to be able to even take that next movement. So what was that first step for you and what called you into building something of your own?
Yeah. So my husband and I met at chiropractic school and we decided pretty early on, we either were going to get really, really good jobs or we were going to own our own business. And we were just going to take it one step at a time and we weren't going to try and overplan. And so we moved out to Jersey. He's originally from here and he had a hard time passing his boards. And so I was like, okay, I'll get the job and I'll take care of us while you're sorting your stuff out. And I worked for somebody for about 10 months before I realized it just didn't feel good. And I'm a person like when it doesn't feel good in my body, it's almost like I feel like I'm on fire until I take action. I think that's part of the like I'm such an intuitive person. And honestly, the older I get, I'm like, I got some weird capabilities. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to really kind of channel now the older I get. And it's kind of creeping me out, if I'm honest, because I will get like ideas in the middle of the night. And I'm just like, I know that's exactly what's supposed to happen. So whether you think that's God, whether you think that's the universe, like I think I am being spoken to by the divine. And when we first opened our practices, that wasn't the case. I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to. I was like, okay, this doesn't feel good in my body. I'm going to take action. So I've always had that aspect of me. But I was like, even if I can replace my salary, I'm going to be so stoked. And I got in there and it was scary, of course, like we all know, we've all opened practices. And then it wasn't scary. And you're like, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. And I was okay. I was really okay with being focused on just that practice for like the first 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And then it just kind of got boring to me. And I'm always been a fast mover. I always like living life in the fast lane. Like I want to live a big expansive life. And it looks very different now than it did back then. But back then I still was like, oh, I'm kind of meant for more. I know that I'm meant for more. There's a voice telling me that I'm meant for more. And so I always have helped people with their problems like their whole life. Like I was the kid that in middle school, the girls would bring their boy problems to their parent problems, like everything. And I would just talk it through with them. And so I always had this innate ability to really help people and like put things in words that get them to see the bigger picture. And it just kind of naturally started happening that I started coaching other chiropractors, primarily people that like went to school with Kyle and I that were like, wow, you guys went from both being associates to now owning two practices. There was just so many questions. People had so many questions. Why aren't you working together? What are you doing? And I just started helping people naturally like that. And then I had my son in 2021 and I was like, cool. And I've heard this. They tell us this happens in chiropractic. I've had plenty of women in chiropractic tell me you change once you have a child and you're not going to necessarily want to treat patients for 12 hours a day once that happens. And I had already started to build up my team and I already had an amazing doctor working for me when I had Jet. And so I kind of felt that after he came, I was like, I really love working from a laptop. I really love getting to work on things all hours of the day, not just 9 to 6. I actually love having more autonomy over my time. And so at that point I was like, you know what? I think it's time to build something else. And then that's how I got started. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this voice again, because I know this thing about the voice. It's like, if I don't listen to it, it just gets louder and louder. So I've learned over the last 10 years to just take quick action. And so that's what I did.
I love it. And obviously here you are now. And that was in 21, right? You said Jet?
Jet, yeah.
That's wild. And since then, you have not only built one business, you yourself have two, and Kyle has two, now joining another three, and then you have your coaching business.
Correct. Yeah. So my offices operate as one location. We're at a satellite location like 15 hours a week. And then we're at our main location about 20 hours a week, give or take. And so patients can go to both locations, but we have two locations. Kyle has two separate locations, and then we're getting ready to open a fifth. Incredible.
It's absolutely amazing. What do you feel like is the biggest thing that we can obviously go there, but let's just talk about the small start to inner shifts that went from a place of like mindset that allowed you to even think about the growth that's now taking you for TWP, the Wealthy Practitioner, because that has been very different than just your chiropractic practices, like stepping out of the place of a brick and mortar inside that to now actually scaling an online business. I know we could probably just talk about that all day long, but what were some of those initial like shifts for you to start navigating that journey?
Yeah, I think that initially it was like, oh, this is scary. I don't know what I'm doing. And then it very immediately, I was like, yeah, but you didn't know what you were doing when you opened the chiropractic office either. So you figured that out. You're kind of this person that'll figure it out no matter what. And so I didn't have a fear of leaving the office because I knew I had really good systems. I knew I had a really good team. And so pulling out of patient care a little bit more to just focus on building, that felt really doable because I came back post-maternity leave. I was still working 2 days a week taking care of patients. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to build this other thing and 2 to 3 other days a week that I have. And that didn't feel scary. It felt like, okay, I can manage both of these things. But what felt scary was like, I had figured out kind of a formula inside a brick and mortar, and I didn't have a formula when I was getting started online. The other thing is, I didn't have a ton of examples inside of chiropractic. Now that I've been exposed to so many more offices, I have an example of all these different models and that sort of thing. But I really hadn't been exposed to that many chiropractors actually enjoying practice and not feeling like they were killing themselves. And so I already early on in that career felt like I'm going to do things differently than the way I see everybody else doing it. Like, I don't necessarily have to be high volume. You know, I just was kind of already doing my own thing inside of chiropractic. And so it made sense to me like, yeah, you're just going to do your own thing inside of coaching too. And I would say there wasn't really a lot of mindset tweaks I had to make other than, are people actually going to pay me to like talk to them? Like on a Zoom or on a phone call? And it's like, do people pay for that sort of thing? Because we're so used to exchanging face-to-face inside brick and mortar. There was like, what do you mean people are just going to do this? And then, you know, of course you start studying others who have done it and who have proven that when you have something good, people will pay for it. When you have valuable things, people will pay for it. And I was like, okay, let's just give it a shot. And then it really started to blow up. I started thinking about it after 2021. Jet was here. That first year postpartum, I was like building a website. I was talking to people here and there, had maybe like 2 or 3 one-to-one clients. And then we went to Hawaii for Jet's first birthday. And I just remember being there and I got 3 DMs that same weekend of people are like, I really want you to one-to-one coach me. And I'm like, okay, loud and clear. Like, I got it. So, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And so that's when I was like, well, I'm going to go full send. Then I'm going to launch a podcast. I'm going to create a community. Like, I knew that I didn't want to be stuck in one-to-one, but the biggest mindset shift of actually scaling coaching was the fact that I had to prove to myself that I could get results that weren't based on only talking to me. And so when I got into coaching, when that really started to grow at the beginning of 2023, I had 8 to 10 hours of one-to-one back-to-back Zoom calls on my calendar for like 3 days straight. And it was like, oh, this doesn't feel that good. I kind of am sacrificing way too much time now. And so I had to get really creative on what it looked like to scale an online company.
Steph.
Yes.
There are a lot of people in our ecosystem that know the Stephanie Wigner that shows up and is able to just pull things out from others and motivate them in an incredible way and showcase that you can have the things that you're dreaming for and reach the vision that you're looking to get. Let's go back to little girl Steph, where other people are looking to you for advice, right? You talked about this in your answer to our first question introduction. Like, you felt like you always had this intuitive ability and capacity, and you were the person that others were able to go to find safety and find purpose or be able to put meaning and words behind the things that they're feeling. What was that like being you in that space while also dealing with your own personal life in a time where maybe you were also trying to create safety and put words behind meanings of what you were experiencing in your own world? Some people may know your backstory of you growing up. Some of our audience does not. Take us there.
Yeah. So I grew up, my parents were divorced very young, and both of my parents suffered from alcohol and drug addiction. And so the first 10 years of my life was navigating parents that were divorced and navigating just a little more chaos than probably the average person. We were all always well cared for. We had other family members around. My mom went to work every day. She was very functioning. And I never really, I think that aided in the fact that I didn't feel like this was normal, or I didn't feel like I belonged, or I wasn't like my friends. And I think my childhood had something to do with that. But I also, because I didn't really feel like I aligned with my family, not that I didn't align with them, but I just was different than them. Like, they all are super outdoorsy people. Like, your girl doesn't like being dirty. She doesn't like bugs. She doesn't like bad smells. Like, she doesn't like any of that. And, you know, they would go and spend the weekends riding horses. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to read a book, or I want to play basketball or volleyball. Like, I was very sports driven as compared to like outdoorsy. And so again, I just feel like from the beginning, I always felt like I didn't really fit in with others. But to your point, when people would come to me and ask me, it definitely made me have this place of belonging. Like, oh, I have value to add to the world, when maybe, you know, I don't think you're thinking about your value at 10 or 12 years old, but it's a very good, when you felt like an outcast for a long time, it's very good to actually feel like you belong and to feel like, oh, okay, there's a purpose behind this. You know, we're like, hey, my life is different than everybody else's life, but I can still help them. And if I look at the through line of my life, even now that shows up, right? Like, yeah, maybe my life is different than somebody else's, but I see that I can still help them too.
How do you differentiate between obviously finding purpose and being able to help others while not developing a hero complex, that's where your self-worth comes from?
Yeah, I think that's something, especially when I was, even earlier on when I was doing one-to-one, I think it did happen. I think it was like, oh my God, like it, not only a hero complex, but like a very intense pressure. So you know, all these people look to me, you know, and it's like, I don't really get a hero complex because I think I don't forget my humble beginnings. I don't forget like where I came from. I don't forget that every day is a blessing. Like, I have been entrusted with these gifts and these talents, and at any point they could be taken away. Like, I don't take that lightly. But more than that, I think because I found validation in what people were saying back to me, especially earlier on in coaching, it feels good to hear nice things. Of course, it feels good to help somebody transform their life. Of course, you're like, it is the highest high. I mean, I haven't ever tried drugs, but I would assume this is what it feels like. Like, it's just such a euphoric feeling when you can help catapult somebody's life to a new level. But with that, there's lots of good, but then somebody wouldn't get the results and I would feel personally responsible. Or I would have 5 clients and 3 would be crushing it and 2 wouldn't be. And I'd be like, oh, it's my fault. You know, I would spiral. I would take on the weight of that. I would feel the pressure of that. And I just had to realize, like, this is kind of actually like our patients. We can do everything we can with our patients. If they're going home and like eating McDonald's every day after work, like, yeah, they're going to still feel like shit. And I kind of realized that with clients too. Like, I can give you everything I got. I can give you the blueprint, the frameworks. I can, you know, mess with your mindset, get it to rewire. But if when you leave our time together and you're not implementing and executing on the things that I've given to you, I can't take responsibility for that. I can't take the blame for that. And so similar, when clients are really winning, it's like, hey, that's you. You did the work. Like, you did the work, first of all, to invest in yourself, to even be willing to get help and guidance and mentorship. And then secondly, you've executed at the best level to get those results. But thank you for the compliments. It sure doesn't hurt to hear when I give you a great idea. But I really have, it's almost been the opposite for me of like allowing that pressure to feel overwhelming at times.
You talked about doing the work. And I mean, I know that to be true for myself. Like, you've literally invited me to take multiple steps in certain things. And obviously, you also just can't hold my hand to say like, okay, I'm inviting you to do this. But at the end of the day, like, I'm responsible for putting the steps in and doing it, right? And like, we obviously get to own our own life. And at the same time, like, what people see behind closed doors, like, we all don't get a view into every aspect of your moments of your day, right? Like, we get to see pieces of it, but there's so much that goes on behind that people just aren't aware of, you know, like, people don't see every moment that I'm spending time working on the business or just working on myself. Like, there's just versions of that, you know, that people just don't get. So I feel like I know the work that I've done, and not only just in my own healing journey and just the work there, has been so transformative. While it's been very personal and intimate to me, to then allow to come into a season where I actually just get to like show up to my authentic self and just put the mother effing work and put my feet to the ground and actually do the thing. I know that you talk about this a lot too, is like, you have to engage that identity and really become, you have to be before you do, right? Like, you say that all the time. Where was if you would invite us into that, have there ever been seasons, as I'm sure there are, where were some pivotal moments where you felt completely like cracked open? And where was this moment to where you felt like through the breaking, it allowed you to fully expand because you had to come back to yourself?
Yeah, so I am a recovering, still working on it, people pleaser through. And this has been the hardest trait because I want everybody around me happy, especially because that's kind of part of my job. Like most of us, there's a high client success touch point in the work that we do when you're delivering service-based things. And so we really try to maintain that in all of our businesses. And it's almost like we're encouraging that people pleasing to an extent. So for me, when I first started get into coaching, I was affiliated with a group that I had really looked up to. And, you know, they really helped me see like life on a bigger picture and just like, hey, there really is no cap to your potential. You know, you can do anything you want thing. And it was like the first time I had seen that in a business setting. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. But for several different reasons, we parted ways. And that was one of the hardest things for me because not only had I looked up to them, not only had I invested in joint ventures with them, poured tons of time and energy into their community, it just was shocking to me to find that they weren't really who they said they were or that their values weren't aligned with mine like I thought they were. Mm-hmm. And I am such a values-driven person that it kind of made me question my own intuition and made me question my own innate. Like anytime you go through something where you're kind of shaken to your core, I think it makes you second guess yourself. Like, how come I didn't catch this sooner? How come I didn't know? How come I didn't anticipate this? So it was really hard to walk away from that when I had poured years into that. And I knew though, because there was just a lot of feelings where I'm like, this is just so not aligned with me. And again, my body wouldn't shut up. My body's like anxious and nervous and all of these things. And I'm like, okay, Steph, you have to listen to that voice eventually. Like, yes, it's going to be hard, but you've done hard things. Just do it again. And I think that moment when I severed ties with them, it really was a beautiful opportunity to say, it's okay to choose yourself. It's okay to listen. When your body feels like this, like it's not something you're supposed to ignore. You're not crazy. You're not overanalyzing, because that's what I would say. Like, I'm such an overanalyzer. Oh my God, I'm sure it's fine, you know? And it's like, no, you're not overanalyzing. Just listen to that intuition. And my life got so much better when I cleared that out of my life. Like, not even from a monetary standpoint, just from a true abundance, energetic, high vibe standpoint. I started attracting such high vibe people into my life because I also think this is important, whether it's a love relationship, a friendship relationship, a business relationship. Like when you allow less than your vibe gets dampened and you attract more of that. And then somehow you wake up and you find yourself and you're like, there's actually nobody that high vibe around me. And I found myself in that position. And I was like, but I'm a high vibe person. This doesn't really make sense. And so when I separated myself from that energy and I moved into who my authentic energy was, people started showing up out of the woodwork. Like it was almost like literally a floodgate opened that I was like, wow, that person's so cool. And like, I want to get to know them. I want to, you know, be friends with them or I want to collaborate with them. So many beautiful opportunities started falling in my lap that the hardest part was just making the decision because I overanalyzed it probably for about a year. And, you know, the voice just got too loud. The body was talking to me that I was like, hey, it's time. I'm just going to rip off the bandaid. It's going to suck. I'm going to cry, but we're going to keep it moving. And it was one of the best things. The other thing is, I will say, outside of that, it has been interesting for me to really sit with my identity and how much I identify as a chiropractor. And what that means, because we're all in the groups, we all see everything. There's a lot of judgment that happens in our profession. You're a good chiropractor if you do X, Y, and Z. You're a bad one if you do this. You know, there's just so many expectation and hoops that I think that we've imposed upon ourselves inside of our profession. When I decided that maybe my life had a bigger purpose than the four walls of my office, I really was like, holy crap, that means I'm not going to be a chiropractor anymore. And especially now, like pulling out a patient care, it's like, okay, what's that mean for me? And you guys know this, obviously, because I work with you guys and your chiropractors, but that ego inside of me was like, you're not a good enough chiropractor. But half the reason I love coaching chiropractors so much is because I want to amplify chiropractic. It's like, I want chiropractic in the hands of every single person in our communities. And but that ego was going to be enough to be like, oh, you should still just do what you've always done because this is the right thing to do. This is the comfortable thing to do. And the bigger voice inside of me, though, was like, yeah, but you're actually impacting it more in this way, in a way that's truly authentic to you. Mm-hmm. And you're still mentoring teen, even if you're not the one caring for patients. And I'm currently sitting in that to where it's like I've pulled out even a little bit more. And it's like, okay, I have to sit with this. I have to feel this. there's days when I'm like, what am I doing? Like, am I sure this is the right move? But then I'll get a little signal and it's like, oh yeah, this is absolutely where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And also just reminding myself that like, this doesn't have to be permanent. Like I can pick up tomorrow and be like, hey, I want to see patients 5 days a week again. Now I don't foresee that happening, but it might, and that's okay. I can make that decision when that time comes. But for this season of my life and where I'm at, being in a mentorship only role for the clinics and focusing all my time and attention on TWP is what feels really good in my body. So I'm listening to that, but it's been hard. It's been hard. And I don't know a lot of people that are doing it, that I can look to for guidance in the way that I'm doing it, that are also prioritizing impact and family. Mm-hmm. I think it's been done a lot probably by men who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to exit and sell the clinic and then I'm going to move on and everybody's going to run it. It's like, yeah, but they probably don't have a team of all females. They also aren't a female. They're also not trying to expand their family in the same way that females have to or get to. And so it's just been a lot of sitting in like, 60 years from now, what do I want to be known for? And what kind of legacy do I want to leave? And am I living that currently on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think there's also a really important distinction too, because there are a lot of groups out there. And I feel like a lot of the judgment comes from the clinical side of things with chiropractic, right? Like what you're actually doing in the office or what services you're providing. That's not your thing. Your thing is helping people identify their worth as those service providers, regardless of the way they want to show up clinically. You're here to teach them how to do chiropractic. You're here in helping people understand that they're more than just that identity scientifically. They need to create impact in the community in order to do that scientifically by having a successful, profitable business that not only supports their growth in the community and their expansion in the community, but also pours back into the human being that's showing up to try and do that and the family and the legacy that they want to leave for themselves, which means that it's not just the science chiropractic act. Hat. It is the bigger picture of what that embodies. And I think that that's something that also helps TWP and like shameless plug, I'll do this all day, stand out in a very specific way because it's more than just the act of chiropractic, but what that beautiful mission actually means for the world and how to help people really step into that because it's not something that you get in school. You can go to a million seminars to learn technique or modalities and all of this stuff and insurance billing or non-insurance billing, all the ins and outs, the nitty gritty, but it's so much bigger than just that one portion. And so you're helping people. And I think one of the coolest things that I personally witnessed seeing you expand into is also sharing more of the person behind the scenes of who's showing up for that business and how much that inner work, heart set, mindset really pays into the way that we show up for our patients. And I love watching that continue to grow. How do you really navigate being both one, the vision holder for the multiple businesses you have, while two, continuing to expand the human being you are, doing the work that you are doing, facing your own stuff as you're calling other people to face theirs while also navigating the other little aspect of just you have a successful partnership and marriage and have had to work through identity stuff with just being present in your relationship and receiving love from this human being while also being a total badass fucking go-getter woman like I got this, I can do this myself while also having a supportive husband and man by your side that's got his own visions and dreams. How do you guys navigate all of those spaces together?
Yeah, I think really honest, open communication. One of the things that Kyle and I did when we got together is like, hey, we are both very big people pleasers in our families and maybe in the offices, but together we're not here to people please each other. Like together we're here to be our full, authentic, sometimes messy self. And we created a very safe space for that so that we could do that and show that. And also on the flip side of that, giving each other permission to call each other to a higher level when we are staying in the suck a little too much or not operating at our highest selves. And so I do absolutely think 100%, I would not be able to wear all these hats or do all these things or make this impact without a really steady and strong partner, because we've had to navigate things too. I mean, we're currently navigating it. Like to what Sarah said earlier, I'm like, I feel like I'm on this runway and it just keeps accelerating and things are changing by the day. And it's like, oh, I thought I was visible 6 months ago. Now I'm really visible. And I'm not going to stop being who I am. I'm not going to stop talking the way I talk. I'm not going to stop sharing what I want to share. But there's parts of him that wants to protect me from the flip side of that, the bad side of that. You know, he's like, babe, what happens when you get a Reddit thread about you and somebody says you suck? I'm like, it's going to happen. He's like, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to drive to find out where that person is. He is such a protector through and through. Like, he always has been. It's one of the things I love the most about him. But like, I'm worried about him. And so we're just in this season of like, he wants nothing more than for me to grow, for us to grow, for our family to grow, like all of these beautiful things. But he still wants to make sure he can protect it. And, you know, we're navigating like, hey, we probably have to realize that's a little bit of control that we're not going to have. And we have to be okay with letting go of that. Even when I launched the podcast, I was like, babe, there's a couple things, like, you know me, once I start going, I'm not filtered. Like, even if I try to be, I can't be. It's just not in my innate abilities. And so we had that discussion before I launched the podcast. I'm like, are you okay with it? He was like, yeah. He's like, just be prepared. Like, people are either going to love it or hate it. And there's been one time that I've recorded a podcast episode that he heard me recording and he came in and he was like, I really would love if you didn't share that part. And I was like, why? Because like, I don't get it. I'm not a private person, but he's a very private person. And it was about some team things that we were going through in one of his practices. And so I totally respected that because I was like, one, it's not my practice. Two, he lets me talk about anything with my clients. If it's fine, if he doesn't want it on like the outward facing podcast. So I don't know. Like, I don't even think I'm answering your question at this point, but it's just been crazy behind the scenes to be like, we have very different personalities and having to navigate that, especially as we grow and things expand. But also for me and knowing what's true to me, I swear the only way I do it is with a ton of help, but also having so much space to actually come back. There's been seasons, obviously, of growing this company in particular in the last 2 years, but all of the companies in the last 10, where it's just been a push season of grind, of like, we're not coming up for air. We're both grinding. We're going to see each other when we can. You know, there's been those different seasons throughout our journey. And I find that that's when I start to get resentful, when that season lasts too long. And so we've done a really good job. I mean, there was times where we would sprint for 6 months, 9 months. And we've gotten to a point now where we're like, hey, we can go into a 90-day window, a 90-day sprint, and really just do everything we can. But we need a reset. We have to have a time to come back and connect as a family or just the two of us or whatever. And so we got much better about that these last 2 years. And I also got much better about navigating my calendar because I defaulted when it was time to go build online. I defaulted to what I know best. And that is hard work gets you to where you want to be. And so that's why I was stuck with 10 to 12 hours of work every single day, 3-4 days in a row. The other 2 days I was in the office or being mom. And it was like, I knew that that would work and it did work. And that was really, it was great, but it also wasn't great because I just solidified that neural pathway in my brain that meant as long as you work hard enough, you'll get what you want. And I'm the type of person that like, that's bad for me because I will work and work and work and work. And so part of really navigating all the businesses, navigating being a mom and having really big goals and aspirations is reminding myself like you're only going to get there if you have the space to strategically plan and then to sit and feel how it feels so that I can move in that flow and that feminine. And it's not just hustle, force, push, do it all over again every single day. And that for me, honestly, has been a quantum leap in itself, just from a rewiring my mindset point of view.
I think that's been one of my biggest things, thinking about if I'm ever going to add more to my plate, that it's just going to have to be the same way that I built my original business. Mm-hmm. That's the like craziness of that, where it's just like, does it look the same?
Or exactly. Not? Especially for people who have had some, you know, success. You're like, well, I know how to be successful because I understand business now. Online and brick and mortar aren't that different when it comes to like, you need marketing, you need sales, you need clients, you need retention, you know? But yeah, it's like, I made that mistake early on where I was like, I'm just going to put my head down and work because it's going to work. But it also, I knew I couldn't stay there because that wasn't actually living.
Right. So one of my I know you, Marisa, and I popped up at the same time, but one of my favorite things about watching you and Kyle, I'm going to go back to you and Kyle a minute, is every time that you guys have done events together, like I feel like he just is sitting there and he's so present and he sits and just grinning and absorbing your energy, but also giving you this energy back. And which has just been really fun to just watch as like individuals outside of just being able to be present there. Along with, I think one of the other things, and I just have a question just based on what I got to experience with both Maurice and I got to experience a couple months ago when we were in Nashville. There were 150 people in this room and there was this space held for vulnerability in a way that not every conference company opportunity presents, right? And there's something that has to happen, not only for you, but also for an energy for that to be experienced. I've been to so many conferences where it's so much about an ego drive. Like the person that's presenting, it's all about them and for people to, like I am the presenter, so I'm the one that needs to be the like one that has all the accolades behind it, more or less. So I'm curious, like not only just for there's got to be something inside of you for you to be able to hold space for that many people to enter into a place of vulnerability and openness. What do you think that is? And why do you think that's there?
I think it's because I've actually done it. I think it's because I'm like truly leading and it's not from a place of ego. And I know the transformations that have happened in my life when I have had that ego creeping up, like trying to yell. And I've actually sat and worked through it, or like even some of the past traumas, you know, I've sat and worked through it. I think the reason it doesn't happen more often is because most of the people saying they've done the work haven't actually done the work. And also understanding that like the work is never done. I know we all know that's what your podcast is built on. You know, the inner work is literally never done, but I don't have a persona or a perception of me that I am trying to prove to you. So I might be leading the room, but if the whole room's fucking crying, I'm crying too. Like, you know, because I feel so much, I've always wore my heart on my sleeve. I feel so much of what everybody else is feeling. And I wouldn't say I'm an empath by any means, but it's intuition, right? And it's like feeling that. And I also feel like that's why my rooms feel differently, because I'm actually guiding on intuition. There's some stuff that happened that weekend that I just woke up and I was like, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. You can't script those sort of things. You can't script those sort of moments. I have an idea heading into an event that I plan what I want the outcome to be, but it's the ability to let the energy take its own path in being able to navigate that as it comes. But it's honestly, it's like letting go of control. It's like the control aspect, I feel like has been huge for me in just navigating that.
Amazing. Well, it was obviously felt and received by so many of us, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful, beautiful thing. So I would love to hear this because I also know, and I heard this one time on your podcast where your fear wasn't fear of failure, it was fear of success. And then also the journey that you've danced with money a little bit, because I feel like I've experienced so much money abundance and this money identity from you. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious, like what that journey also has been like as you've navigated for yourself.
Yeah, I the fear of success, again, it's like we work through our triggers and our wounds and then we experience them at a new level and they raise their head again. And so I feel like that has been my journey the last couple of years, is like I've done the money mindset work and then you reach a new level and you're like, oh, this is creeping back up. This is interesting in a new way usually. But I feel that when I first started making money, long before I had coaching, I was nervous. I was like, what are people going to think about me? I don't want people to think I'm materialistic, but damn, I like nice things. Like, and I don't want people to think this and I don't want people to think that. And then it just started happening. And I was like, well, I guess I can't really prevent it. Like, if you don't know who I am at my core, and it honestly got brought up when Kyle proposed to me, he proposed with a beautiful ring and you know, we picked it out together and it triggered some money issues within our families. And there was one point we were walking and Kyle was on the phone with his mom and, you know, she was like, well, I just think she's a little materialistic, and we were already engaged. And he was like, is that the worst thing you have to say about her? That she works her ass off and she buys nice things for herself? And I kind of just, of course, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe like that happened. You know, like, I'm like, oh my God, he just stood up for me. Like, oh my God. But of course he did. But also, I was judging myself for being materialistic because the judgment was coming back to me. And I was like, it's like he gave me permission in that moment. And that's not even what he was trying to do. It was just like that moment, even though it was an awkward situation, I was like, yeah. And if people are going to think this anyways, and that's what they're going to judge me based on, then I might as well get every damn nice thing that I want. And that's kind of how I've been since then. That was 9 years ago. But that was my fear, though. My fear was the judgment. The fear, like, what are people going to know if they actually knew how much money I was making? Because it is pretty unrelatable. What are they going to think if they see my son flying first class and he's not even 2 years old? Like, what are they going to think? But at the same time, one, it was me judging myself in some instances. And two, it's the control. It's like people are going to judge me anyways, no matter what I do. I just had a couple scenarios this week, actually, where my character was questioned. And of course it hurt. Of course I was like, wow, God, maybe I should stop putting so much stuff out there. And then again, trying to keep me safe, trying to keep me small. And it was like, but how many people am I actually inspiring by sharing the real shit and sharing what's possible? Because I knew when I was on this quest to just blow up and like create a massive wave and a massive movement, I was inspired by the people who were actually sharing that were doing it, not by the people that were in their comments feeding on them. So I think that I'm still navigating that fear of success because there's a part of me that still knows that there's much more coming and it's just navigating it on a daily basis, but also not letting that stop you. Like, I think that it's a fear, right? Fear is meant to reflect something back to us. It is not meant to stop us. And so anytime I feel that fear, I'm like, you're on the cusp of something. Keep going, keep going. And that's just what I've done. I don't know that it's ever went away because I still am going to keep striving for more. And so it's showing up at new levels.
I really feel that so much. Growing up, I was bullied for being like not cute. I was bullied for being different with a different family. I was bullied for being friends with kids that other people bullied and thought were weird and different or from different ethnic backgrounds. And then, so there was this weird like pleasing of like, well, I want to be in with the crowd, right? And then you grow and you evolve and you also change in puberty. I'm still in my awkward phase, but it blessed me a little bit more than where I was in my uncute phase. And then you see the other side of it. You see the ugly side of being bullied just because you do look different or other people think that you are pretty or like what you have and like the way that your body looks. And you're feeling this flip of like, I damned if I do. Damned if I don't. So who am I, right? Because you try and please every single person's persona and opinion of you. But I do also feel like when it comes from the people that are closest to you, family, in-laws, like I've dealt with, and we've never talked about this on podcast before, but really challenging stuff with my mother-in-law. And that was a persona thing, like not just at the materialistic, like, oh, well, what is she getting on her finger? But like, she's just a body. Like, why? What does she actually have to offer? She sold a practice and moved back to an area. You told me I'd be blown away. She hasn't done anything in a year. Who, like, why is this person here and mooching off of you? Right. So then you become this identity of needing to prove your worth, prove why you need to be in the room, like make the money. Then you're making the money, you're buying the things, and it's like, well, you have too much. It's like you could save children from a burning building, like school kids, and it'd be like, well, she didn't save the books. Totally. So it's not good enough. And so navigating those spaces, you do, it's hard because you're still, again, you're still a human being with feelings and a person. And it's so wonderful. And I love that Kyle is that person for you that can also just hold space and give permission. Like, listen, this is going to happen. People are going to have opinions about you, whether they're real or not. Most of the time, they're reflections of themselves. Yep. However, it doesn't mean that words don't hurt. But having that person to support you and say, I still got you. Feel incredible. That has to come from ourselves.
Again, this week when it happened, you know, I brought some things to him that I had like heard and seen. And he was like, what matters the most? I'm like, what do you fucking mean what matters the most, Kyle? Like, you know, I'm like so upset in the moment. And he's like, what matters the most? He's like, me, you, and Jet. It's us against the world. Like we've said that from day one. If everybody else has something negative to say about you, but your husband and your son adore you, it's the only thing that matters. And it just brought me back. And I'm like, you're right. That's actually the only thing that matters. And I would have to do something really bad for every person in the world to hate me outside of Jet and Kyle. But, you know, it put it into perspective of like, yeah, we are going to be different. We're becoming more unrelatable by the second. And that's okay, because the people who are inspired by it are going to want to be around us. And the people who are triggered by it are just going to clear way for different people. And it's like, yes, we have to remind ourselves of that over and over again.
I think that's relatable for obvious. Like you said, it's be relatable for people that actually can and want to hear it because they've done some of the work to be able to actually understand it. Mm-hmm. And for the people that it triggers, like you said, half the time it's going to be a mirror and whether or not they're going to be willing and ready to be able to actually handle it, you know, and like it's their own pride and their own ego getting in the way for them to even be able to receive it in the first place. So
totally. It's just fascinating. Like once you've done so much money mindset work, I forget that money is triggering because you know me, I'm like, I love money. Money loves me. Like, let's talk about it. Like I'll talk about it any kind of way you want to talk about it. And it's still so fascinating. I'm like, we like got weird over money. I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought that was like 2020 thing. Like it's hard to be around people who haven't done any work. And so I think sometimes people think I'm cutthroat. Like, I have high standards for people I allow to have access to my energy. And it's not because of that. It's because you're not enlightened enough to know, like if money is the only thing that you're talking about, you got a problem. Like you don't have money and you talk about it more than I talk about it. And I got a lot of it. It's like, you're the one that has an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it, you know? And so it's been really hard for us to protect our energy. But like, if you think of the Expanders Retreat in Naples, I'm like, did anybody even talk about money one time? That wasn't talked about at all. And everybody left and everybody went and like made more of it.
We had like a couple of sessions where it was just like intentional, like, hey, here's some frameworks, here's some stuff. But it was like, childhood trauma, you know, we're getting real. Like we're actually like building relationship and then you take it and you run with it. And then you take that and you have major immense change, not only for yourself and all the things that you are also building and creating.
For sure.
That's pretty cool.
How do you navigate those conversations where you're seeing things in people, right? You're coaching them, you're working with them, and you just know in the way that we're showing up, there's a lot of limiting beliefs. There's a lot of blocks that we have that are going to prevent us from getting to the next level that we want to go to. And every time you start to share a little different perspective or drop a little nugget that you know is going to like mind katana them, and you know it's going to sit there like a little time bomb, they're not ready to hear it yet. They're not in the space and it's just not coming through. Inviting them into the space to go deeper because you know that that's where the block is that is preventing them from hitting that next level that they're wanting to go. How do you encourage them to go in without shaking them through your camera, just being like, you need to open your eyes and see this?
I'm cracking up, Marisa, because I feel like this is what happened in Naples with you when we were talking about your schedule.
At one point, you literally just looked at me and said,
no, I said, are you committed to solving this and coming up with this?
Yeah. Are you actually care about finding a solution or you want to sit in your problem?
Yeah. And that's kind of how I am. I'm pretty direct with it. So no, but that's the thing. That's why I prefer to have closer working relationships with people who are like, yes, you're right. You know, you didn't get offended. You didn't get mad at me. You were like, okay, yeah, like, let me sit with this. Let me figure it out a little bit more. I have to sit with this. And then also I'm not committed to pushing anybody's timeline on figuring things out. Cause I think that's when we have the opposite effect, not only feelings like resentment or anger or things like that, but also it's like, they usually move away further from the outcome that I know is meant for them. And so if I'm there and I'm like, you got to change your schedule today. You got to do this. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Like it just wouldn't get anybody closer to where they needed to be. And so I'm not committed to the timeline. There's been times you guys have seen me on calls where somebody comes and I'm like, yeah, the same thing that we're dealing with 6 months ago. And I'll just say it because I'm like, let's not get it twisted. You already know the answer because I've already answered this. I will answer it again, but my answer is not going to change. And they just need time to catch up. And that's totally okay. And so for me, I am kind about it, but I'm also very direct because I don't think I help anybody by beating around the bush. I don't think, you know, I'm here to accelerate results quickly, timelines, skip them, do whatever you want. But also I know we each have our own journey and we have to meet people with where they're at, essentially to kind of how we do inside of our offices too. It's like people say, oh, they'll do anything to fix it, but then they don't do the very thing that you tell them that will fix it. It's like, okay, well, we can take this one step at a time or we can skip steps, but it's up to you.
I mean, I would rather skip steps, but it doesn't always mean that my heart and my mind are ready to do it.
I mean, it doesn't mean you're on the same page. And in your mind, you're like, absolutely, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then your heart's like, oh, what? That's uncomfortable. I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
What's been your most challenging coaching testimonial? What was the case that really, or the individual you were, like, what was the real thing?
A good outcome or a bad outcome?
Nitty gritty. Both.
Okay. I think of a particular client that I took on when I was still doing a bunch of one-to-one. I had like doubled my prices at that point. It was a couple years ago and it was a male and he was doing seven figures in his practice. And I took a deposit from him because I used to do like these 3 months intensives with coaching and I took his deposit and then I got anxiety every time it was time to get on a call. Again, like my body just tells me, I don't even know that I'm anxious, but I like have a pit in my stomach and I'm like, this isn't normal on coaching calls. Usually I'm like so excited and I'm like, okay. And that whole call, he gave me reasons on why he couldn't change anything that he was doing. And I was like, not really used to that from people that are making seven figures, doing seven figures of revenue at least in their practice. And I'm grateful for the experience because it showed me really quickly who's going to be successful inside of my orbit and who isn't. And I can filter through them quicker now because of that experience. But it was very challenging because I could not give him anything because he wasn't going to go and execute. Or I gave him plenty, but then he didn't execute on any of it. And so he was in the same spot the next week when we had a call. And so I fired him and I was like, hey, I don't actually think I'm the right coach for you. I think your money is better spent elsewhere. And so I never, after that initial deposit, I did a month of coaching with him. I never took further payment. And that was hard for me because one, what's my head saying? Like, oh, you're a quitter. You're a quitter. Like, why are you quitting? This isn't normal. He wants to pay you, right? The old wounds of scarcity creep in. And who are you to turn down money? You're nuts. You know, like it wasn't cheap what I was charging. And, I just had to listen to that intuition again and be like, no, this is, but I'm so grateful for the clients that I've had that maybe weren't the best fit. Cause it's just like patience. Not everybody is going to be a 10 out of 10 like you guys that I'm obsessed with. And I learned so much from those because it's always a mindset thing. And it gives me so much fucking ammo to come in and coach all my clients and be like, here's what I'm seeing in some of you. And usually I'm seeing it in the people who aren't willing to do the work. And so I get to learn those lessons and bring it to the people who are. And that's why they keep doing well. That's why they keep winning. That's why they keep showing up because they know, and this is something I've learned through seeing inside of hundreds of businesses at this point, is it's always a mindset. And the strategy, you need the strategy. And so with coaching, for instance, I had some strategy, but my mindset didn't actually believe that I could make what I said I wanted to make inside of coaching. And so most of 2023 was spent on working on my mind. That's why you see me blow up so big in 2024, because it was a whole year of being like, this is possible. There's an easier way. You were worth it. People are going to pay you. You can do this. Yes, it's hard. It's okay. Like going on and on and on, just back and forth with myself, like internal dialogue every single day. And so that's why I'm so passionate about getting people to understand everything they want is possible, but they are going to be the bottleneck that prevents it. And I'm trying to think of like my best one. I don't know. I got a lot of them.
I know. So how about this? What's something that you are coaching yourself through right now? What is your own personal, what is your biggest struggle in 2025?
I think it is honestly with already being so visible and being committed to being more visible. So I'll give you a very real example. 2025, I got a small team. You guys know that because you know them. I have a very small team. If I want to diversify more so outside of chiropractic and still do everything for chiropractic, but also start to just get people to know who I am outside of chiropractic, I have to show up in different ways that get them excited. So it's not just like grow your brick and mortar. I have to share other things, which you'll see on my social, me sharing more about the coaching company because that inspires people, right? Other coaches, other online businesses, that sort of thing. It's asking me to be okay with being more visible. And for somebody who thought she was pretty good with being visible and pretty good with sharing, it is triggering the F out of me. And I just invested over six figures into a marketing company for the Wealthy Practitioner. And I'm so excited to share that with you guys. But it's activating that like, oh my God, if I'm already this visible and people are already saying things, what's going to happen after I pay this really, really good marketing company? And that's been some of the real. And of course, what's happening? The minute I signed the fucking check what's happening? It's like, oh, this person said this about you in your practice, and this person said this about you, your character. This person said this and this about you. And it happened almost immediately. Somebody was in a comment this week saying, like, is this an AI account? And that triggers me because I do my best to be truly authentic and real and share every aspect of it. But it's not a freaking coincidence that the minute I said, hey, I'm good with being more visible, I was met with so much resistance. And it's not big things. It's not things I'm losing sleep over, but it's still uncomfortable. It's still, you know, making me pause and be like, okay, Steph, buckle up. Like, here we go. And nothing's even happened yet. I just signed the check, but I'm like not surprised because I know this is how it works. And that is going to be something that I think I'm going to have to navigate a lot over the next few months of like, if you're going to keep being who you say you are, you have to be okay with whatever comes with that.
It's going to stretch you. And also you're very open about sharing about your family and sharing about Jet. Do you have any feelings around like how much you share of your inner everyday world?
I don't really have too many feelings about that. I would say Kyle is definitely more anxious about that, especially when I share money related things. He's like, make sure you don't share everything, okay? Again, from a protection standpoint, he is very protective. I don't worry about Jet. I will say though, in the last 6 months, he's went through a phase where he doesn't want to take pictures or be on camera at all. So I've respected that. But if he's part, you know, if we're doing something like I just shared last night of us playing together on the beach yesterday morning, I still think he's such a big part of my life, it would feel incongruent to not share him. But yeah, I think that there has to be ways that I have to also be respectful of him as he gets older and like what he wants shared and what he doesn't.
For sure. So as you are creating something, obviously with family, you obviously just spent six figures on a beautiful company. I'm curious, and maybe we don't have a full understanding of what like is speaking through your body, but what do you feel like is this dream that's on the horizon that feels almost too big to say out loud that you maybe haven't shared with anybody else yet? Can we get the deets?
Oh, the deets, damn. When I held my first workshop in 2020, my socially distanced workshop that five local businesswomen paid to come to for like $250 each, absolute insanity. One of them who's close with me, I call her my fairy godmother. She was right across my way when I opened my first Circle of Life office. She was right across the way and she walked in and she was like, the energy in the entire building just shifted when you walk in. I must meet you. Like, she's very intuitive. And she came to my first workshop and she was working on building her private practice. And she said to me, she was like, I just need you to know that you are on some Tony Robbins level shit. And that was before I even like had practiced coaching. That was before anything. And she unlocked something inside of me that was like, oh, maybe this isn't something small. Maybe it could be something much, much bigger that I haven't even considered. And so I don't know that I'm working towards any like goal. Like, I don't have like a number in my head that I have to work to. I have next milestones that I'm just going to keep going because why not? But I do have a vision of like writing and speaking on insane stages. And for a long time, I was like, oh, I want to be on this stage. And I want to be on this stage. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to create my own fucking stage. And it's going to be as big as Tony Robbins. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be in 5 years. I don't know if it's going to be in 25 years. I don't really know, but there's something inside of me saying that that's going to happen someday. And who knows, maybe we'll find this clip someday. They'd be like, damn, Steph had a pretty big room one day.
I can't wait.
You're gonna show it. It's gonna be like the beginning.
Oh, I love it.
But I think that's the key to life is dreaming so freaking big that it scares you. Because if you don't have really big dreams that scare you, if you're not aiming for something higher, and again, we're not talking about sacrificing to get there, but if you don't have this North Star that you're working towards, you miss out on a lot of life. And that doesn't have to be only in business. It has to do with your family. You should have big goals for your family, even if it's just you and your husband, even if you got seven kids, like you should have such big goals. You should have big goals for like your ability to give back and make an impact, you know? And that's what honestly makes the world a bigger and better place, because there's not enough people dreaming big. And so those of us that have the potential to absolutely have to, because we're the ones raising the vibration of everybody else.
I always say dream big, but dream wide, right? One day principle, like you gotta live your full expansive width. Like you gotta just full send it.
You gotta send it.
Send it. So Steph, tell our listeners how they can connect with you, where they can find you. You have your own podcast as well. So take a moment to share about ways that they can outreach and connect with you.
Yes. So I have a podcast called The Wealthy Practitioner, and I am primarily on Instagram at Dr. Stephanie Wigner. Just recently went through a name change where I brought it back to my name instead of The Wealthy Practitioner. We also have an Instagram page called Wealthy Practitioners with an S. And I have a website, stephaniewigner.com, where you can find some cool freebies to find more info out about my podcast and that sort of thing. But I love to connect with people on Instagram the most.
Perfect. Thank you so, so much for diving into all of these conversation topics today and sharing with the audience your heart, your vision, your goals, your inspiration, your motivation. As Sarah said in the beginning of our kickoff, we are both so blessed and it's such a gift to have in our lives and to be able to do this with you. So thank you for being present with us today and taking us to those places. And we cannot wait. We cannot wait for the next collab.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I love you both. Your guys' podcast is awesome. And I can't wait to see what you guys create next. Hey there. Do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.